This is Bunny Michael. Connecting to your higher self is an unlearning process. Unlearning the conditioning of our culture that raised us to believe we have to prove ourselves to belong. Success, fulfilling relationships, self-acceptance, inner peace. All of that begins when we realize that that is what we deserve, what we've always deserved. Aligning with your higher self is an awakening process, and it is no easy feat. But as you will learn from the callers on this podcast, our journeys might look different, but our path is the same. Welcome to XO Higher Self. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode. How are you doing? How's your week going? Hope that it's going okay. Hope you're not too stressed out and you're giving yourself some grace and some self-compassion. You know, it's funny, the other day I posted something on IG about being nice to yourself or something like that, and a person commented saying, "I love your post, but I sometimes feel like if I'm too nice to myself, then I'll never improve." And it's funny because that's a very natural, I think, response for a lot of us, because our culture is like self-improvement. You got to get better, be better. And we think, oh, if I'm nice to myself, then I'm going to not be motivated, or I'm not going to like push myself. And that really comes from this whole idea that in order to be motivated to do things that we want to do, we need to be shaming ourselves, guilting ourselves, making us feel bad as a form of motivation, or self-harm as a form of motivation, or self-harm in the guise of self-love. And it's just a really toxic way of thinking about it. When you take care of a kid, for example, and you're trying to get the kid to do something that's good for them, you know, something healthy or something that they need to do, you have two ways of doing it. You can either shame them to do it, guilt them to do it, make them feel bad or fearful as a way to motivate them, or you can do it with love, encouragement, letting them know that they're good enough, that they got this, that they're amazing, that, you know, in all the different ways in which they are. And I find that shame and guilt are not sustainable forms of self-motivation. They're just not. Love, compassion, understanding, nurturing, that's the stuff that makes our journey sustainable. That's what gives us energy. That's what makes us unstuck, is when we realize, hey, I'm worth it. I'm worth all of this. So today's episode is kind of about something different than that, but it's all part of the same thing. It's about unrequited love and boundaries, and whether or not you should violate your own boundaries and what the line is. So I'm sure a lot of you will be able to relate to this, because, you know, we've all been in a situation where we have feelings for somebody and they might not be working out, or maybe they're not interested, or maybe we feel a little rejected by them. And how do we navigate that? How do we handle it? All right, let's get to the question. Hi, Bunny. Thank you so much for everything you do. Your work truly gives me hope and clarity, and I'm hoping you give me some insight into something that's been haunting me for so, so long. I've been in love with the same person for almost a decade now, but we've never been together. I rejected their advances not long after we met and became close. I had just gotten out of a year-long abusive relationship and didn't feel ready. By the time I finally was, they had moved on with someone else. But because we were in a small school program together, I had to be in close proximity to them nearly every weekend for 2 years after that. After we left school, we didn't see each other or communicate much for 5 years, but I still thought about them all the time, even though I was in other important relationships. By some weird twist of fate, we reconnected in 2021 and started to hang out again, and I realized that my feelings hadn't changed and had only grown, especially after seeing the similar ways in which we had grown in our time apart. I let them know, and they told me that while there was still an attraction, they weren't ready for a relationship. We got through that fine, but I noticed that since we reconnected, they didn't make an effort to talk to me outside of the times we would hang out, which happened at best every few weeks. I had a hard time knowing whether they actually wanted to be close with me, even as a friend. I made the difficult decision to cut them out simply because seeing them was extremely emotionally devastating for me. I had waited so long to see them again, and my longing for them was too much to deal with. I felt like I was holding myself back, waiting for something that was never going to happen. They didn't respond when I told them I didn't think I should see them anymore, and for a week or two, it felt like a weight was lifted from my shoulders. But it's been several months since then, and I still think about them and feel sad about it every day. Part of me still believes that if I told them exactly how I feel, things would be different. I don't feel like the short communications we had about my feelings were really able to convey the extent of how deeply I feel for them. And my fear of driving them away held me back from really putting myself out there. It feels like reaching out, even for the sake of clarifying my feelings, would be giving in to this idea that if I behaved differently, things would have worked out. But Bunny, I don't want to keep this inside for another 10 years. I feel like I've learned from my previous experiences with them that sometimes time doesn't heal. Do you have any insight about how I can move on from this situation? I'm so tired of feeling hopeless. Thank you so much. Hi, love. I'm sorry this situation has been difficult and confusing. From my perspective, the last time when you told them you couldn't hang out with them, you were setting a very necessary boundary for yourself because you were doing what was best for your emotional and spiritual health. And you also knew you were in a place where you couldn't just be casual friends where you see each other every few weeks, et cetera, et cetera. And you should be really proud of yourself for setting that boundary. But setting the boundary isn't the end of the story. There's also the maintaining, the keeping of the boundary. What you are contemplating is violating a boundary you set in order to communicate your feelings to them with more clarity. I guess what I want to ask you is, what do you expect that will do for you? In other words, what is the outcome that you are seeking? Is it to get a response from them because they never responded to your previous email? Is it to persuade them to be with you? Is it to know what they're thinking? Is it to see if they miss you? Is it to try and make a friendship work? Is it to get them to understand you? And what would it take for you to think that they fully understand your feelings? I don't think boundaries always have to stay the same, but I do think that if you decide to reach out to someone you have a boundary with, you have to be really clear as to why you're doing it. What response you're expecting, and if you don't get that response, how is that going to make you feel? Is it just going to hurt you more? I don't think there's anything wrong with you reaching out and sharing your authentic feelings. You're obviously a loving and thoughtful and caring person. You obviously care a great deal for this person, and I'm sure they care for you too. It probably wasn't easy for them to receive your email about you not being able to be friends with them. So thinking about whether it would be good for this person to receive a more detailed explanation of why you can't be friends with them again, I don't know. I also think you need some clarity on how that would make them feel. In other words, what would your higher self say is the loving thing to do, considering everybody's feelings, considering everybody's sense of safety, emotional safety, well-being, respect? I also just want to point out that our desires to be with someone romantically are based on an idea of what it would be like to be with them, which is based on what we imagine it would be like, not what it would actually be like. In other words, you think something is right for you. That's your prediction. It's a fantasy, not a fact. We can project a lot on an unrequited love because they are kind of frozen in time before any relationship conflicts. When the only conflict right now is you not being together. But as we know, all relationships are complicated, and we can't really know if something would be right for us until we experience it. What I'm trying to say is that the universe has a way of giving us what we need, not what we want. And having faith in our path is a portal to inner peace. Surrendering to what is actually opens us up to more possibility. Letting go of that tunnel vision of how things should work out makes room for things we couldn't have anticipated, but that were much better for us in the long run. Remembering that helps us get through the challenging times in our life. There is no way we can avoid challenges or loss. It's part of being human. So when you say you don't want to keep this inside for another 10 years, I don't think that you have to keep this inside. I don't think that you have to hold on to an idea of what you think would make you happy for 10 years, especially if the universe is not giving that to you. It's not that the only solution is to be together. It's not that the only solution is for you to finally feel some sense of that person understands you. Because all I'm saying is there are things that are out of your control. You can't control that person's perspective. You can't control what's going on in their life. You can't control their desire to be with you or not. But what you can control is knowing that what you're getting is what you need. And you can trust that. You can trust that even though in your mind you think that relationship would be great, if divine timing is not showing that connection, there's a reason for that. There is. And it might not be a reason that's clear to you. You might not fully understand it, but you can trust it. You can have faith in it. We are held by something greater than ourselves that wants the best for us, that wants us to awaken to the fact that we have always been enough. And at any moment, we can let our light shine. Love is a state of consciousness that we have the power to access and let guide our choices. So what is love calling you to do? And can you trust the guidance of that? Whatever you decide to do, do it based on the realization that you are whole just how you are, that you're enough, that you deserve relationships that are emotionally safe, that you deserve boundaries that are healthy for you, that you deserve environments that are going to continue to facilitate your healing. Ask your higher self what to do, and you will get your answer. Sending you lots of love. Take care. Hello, EXO Higher Self fam. It's Bunny here. I am so thrilled to announce my debut book, Hello Higher Self, An Outsider's Guide to Loving Yourself in a Tough World, is now available for pre-order. This book is the essential manual for unlearning your limiting beliefs that have been ingrained in you by the toxicity of our culture and your trauma and your socialization. We all have to unlearn this stuff so we can channel the power of our higher self. And everyone who pre-orders this book will receive a special free gift from me to be announced shortly. So hurry to the pre-order link in the show notes and get yourself a copy. I cannot wait for you to read it. You know, I say on this podcast a lot that it's not about me giving you the answers. It's about me getting you into a place where you realize you already have the answer. Because I don't know what love is calling you to do, but what I do know is that you are love and that you have a wisdom inside of you that you can access. And sometimes that means realizing that we have to do something that doesn't feel good, that isn't easy, that takes us out of our comfort zone, or it doesn't satisfy a short-term need. But deep down, we know that's what's right for us. So there is no right or wrong way. There is no right or wrong path necessarily, or right or wrong choice. But there is the path that love is guiding you on. And no matter where you go in life, you can always get back on that path. No matter what mistake you've made, no matter what relationship you were in that wasn't good for you, no matter, you know, what thing you did that you regret or any of that, you can always course correct back to love. And that's the really cool thing about being on this journey, is that wisdom, we were born with that wisdom. We were born as our higher selves. It's an inner guide of love, and we can always access it. It's never, ever, ever too late, ever. So if you're faced with a decision that feels difficult to you, you don't really know what your higher self is calling you to do, what I like to do is meditate or pray or journal to my higher self and just ask, dear higher self, what's love calling me to do here? And I promise that if you do that every day, if you continually ask, you will get clarity. You don't have to rush making a really difficult decision. There is no rush. You shouldn't rush. You should take your time so that you can find that clarity. But I promise, if you keep asking, if you keep opening up your heart and surrender to love, you will get the answer. All right, babes. I'm sending you so much love, from my love to your love, my higher self to your higher self. We're all so much more wise than we realize. We have this inner strength, and we're in the process of trusting it, actualizing it, so that we can just, you know, have a more enjoyable day. Sometimes it's really simple. It's really just about what's going to bring us peace and not keep us in the same toxic cycles. I love you so much, and so does your higher self. I will see you next time. Take care.